You're listening to the 10 Bagger Podcast, presented by the Daily Gold. Join us as we uncover tomorrow's 10 baggers today. And now here's your host, Jordan Roiburn.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the 10 Bagger Podcast. This is episode number 28, and with me is returning guest Marius Skoniecny. He is the editor, publisher of Microcap Explosions. And you know, Marius, I'll just start by saying, you know, I started this podcast around 2.5 years ago or so, end of 2019, I think. And, you know, I had some people come on then and in 2020 as well. And there were a handful of picks that were 10 baggers or close to being 10 baggers. Obviously, in the last year or so, we've fallen into a bear market, you know, a technical recession. Maybe it's going to end up being a real recession here over the coming quarters. And a lot of stocks are down now significantly. But, you know, I know you fashion yourself as a value investor, but isn't this the kind of time where if you're really looking to make, you know, a 10-bagger, 20-bagger, or even a 50-bagger, or even something more, this is the time really to buy or at least get ready to buy? I mean, these are the points in time when you can make real fortunes and find real value out there.
Yeah, so you had 2008, 2009. That was one time over the last, you know, 13 years. Then you had 2020, COVID, and now you have now. So yeah, it's actually funny because during those times, like 2008, 2009, I wrote my first book, Why Are We So Clueless About the Stock Market? And I featured some companies in it. Then I wrote a bunch of other books, but then during COVID, I wrote How to Profit from the Coronavirus Recession, where I featured 50 companies in the book. And now I'm not writing another book, but it's like it's those moments that they're so obvious, so no-brainers. So I would agree with you. This is one of those times again.
Yes, and so we're going to talk about which I believe is your favorite company, your largest holding. We've talked about it before, Voxtur Analytics. And obviously, like most stocks, the stock has come down, like some stocks, quite significantly. But I know that hasn't deterred you at all. And that's because the business and everything there is on track. And so why don't you just talk about, you know, maybe why you think the stock has come down, aside from obvious reasons, and just the big picture, how the company is set up really well over the next couple of years.
Right. So Voxtur, just for the people that are not aware, it's a real estate technology company where they have a few different business units. So they have appraisal technology unit. They have a foreclosure unit where they help banks process foreclosures. They have tax assessment business where they help municipalities calculate taxes. They have a title business where recently in April they got approved for AOL, which is attorney opinion letter, as a product, alternative product to title insurance. And then most recently, they announced that they are acquiring a technology company called Blue Water Financial, which is like a platform where mortgages and mortgage services rights are sold. So they are entering into the secondary mortgage market, where before they were just on the origination side. So they have many different businesses that are massive. And this company, what they do is they look for inefficiencies and problems within the real estate technology space, and they try to make it faster, cheaper, more efficient. And so in April, when Fannie and Freddie approved AOL, that was April 6, 2022, the stock just took off. It reached almost $2 Canadian. And then, you know, we got into this period where constant talk about recession, interest rates going up, You know, real estate is going to crash, and this constant talk. You know, the stock sold off from close to $2 to now sitting at 50 cents. Right. So everything that has any sort of association with real estate, it just is getting pounded, no matter what, you know, the technology behind it is, no matter what the revenues are, no matter how bright the future is, they just don't want to hold it.
Right. So let's look at just a quick question about the valuation. Tell me, I guess without making it too long of an answer, when you expect that they could become profitable. And I mean, price to revenue, I mean, what are they trading at as far as this year's expectations, but also on a trailing basis? So, I mean, the market cap is what's something 200 Canadian right now. So probably around 200.
Yeah, 270, I'm looking at it. And the revenues for this year should be close to 200 million. And next year it's going to be much better. We don't know exactly yet, but their most recent quarter, you see, people were so afraid that they were going to get decimated because all the other real estate technology companies got decimated. All the title companies got decimated on revenues, and Voxtur came out with sequential revenues from quarter to quarter only down like 5%, which shows a very strong resilience and the quality of the revenue stream. You know, it's not as cyclical as people thought it was. And then as far as profitability, well, the management realizes that right now the market doesn't reward growth. The market wants companies to be profitable. So they're aware of it. They're cutting their expenses as much as they can. And I think they can be profitable in Q4 of this year. So we'll see. But I guess that's the goal.
Yeah, so I saw an analyst report a week or so ago, and it said that Voxtur's peers were trading at about 4x revenue. Now, I'm sure Voxtur is in a far better position than those relevant peers, as the report said. But even just going off that valuation, I mean, this stock has you know, plenty of upside, just based on, you know, what revenue you could expect at the end of this year as well as next year. And then that's not even taken into account the explosive growth potential this has on three different fronts.
Yeah, that's right. So not only is it undervalued on revenue multiple in compared to the competitors, it's undervalued on the current revenue, and it's definitely undervalued on any future revenue. Because really, think about it, when it comes to revenue growth doesn't just happen on an Excel sheet. There's something driving that revenue growth. And so Voxtur has, you know, real solutions, disruptive solutions that are being adopted that is going to drive the revenue in the future.
Right. Now let me talk about one thing I know you've been talking about, at least the last time we interviewed, and that's getting a listing on the NASDAQ. Talk about what the status of that application, if they've sent it in, and you know, how will that, if at all, change the perception that investors have of the company?
Well, first they're going to go from TSX Venture to TSX, the Toronto Stock Exchange main board. That's the goal. And then later to be on NASDAQ. But on the most recent call, Gary Yeoman, which is the chairman of Voxtur, he said, we're not going to NASDAQ with this valuation. It's ridiculous. We're just not going to do it. Even though they're going to do a reverse split, they're first going to do the TSX, and, you know, whenever the market, I guess, improves or, you know, gets out of the rehab, then maybe they'll look into NASDAQ. But for right now, the nearest thing is TSX.
Right. What to trade on the NASDAQ? I mean, do they meet after the reverse split? Would they meet all their requirements as is, or is there something else they would need to do?
No, they would have to do a reverse split. I don't know all the details, but I mean, they are approved for as much as 20-1 reverse split. But I'm just repeating what the chairman said, is that, you know, we're not going to Nasdaq with this valuation. So maybe they need to close the most recent acquisition, maybe announce some, maybe give some guidance, or, you know, announce some client wins. Maybe the market will wake up to this, and maybe it will. I have another company that, you know, I'm not going to mention the name. When there's good news, the market reacts. I mean, one company's doubled like in the last 3 days because they had a major win. So the market does what it does, and it can torture you for a long time, but then something happens, boom, the stock doubles, triples, and things change very fast.
Okay, yeah, I do want to follow up on that, but first, and maybe we can do this as quickly as you can. I know it's difficult, but let's talk about the divisions of business, the three different businesses that Voxtur has, and what the kind of just give an overview and what the current status is. So let's start with the attorney opinion letter program, and I know they started a pilot program. Can you talk about what's going on, the program that was approved by Fannie and Freddie several months ago? Can you talk about the status of that right now, and then what the potential is over the next 2 years for that, for Voxtur?
Right, so AOL stands for Attorney Opinion Letter. In April, it was approved. I mean, Voxtur has been working on it for 3 years. And finally, it was approved by Fannie and Freddie in April because it needs to be approved. Because in the mortgage origination business, when a mortgage is originated, it needs title insurance. Well, Attorney Opinion Letter is an alternative product to title insurance, which is cheaper, but it needed to be approved. Because everything has to be approved. Otherwise, the loan cannot be sold to a secondary market, which is what happens all the time when originators originate the loan, then they sell it to the secondary market and it trades between investors as an asset. So now Voxtur is onboarding nine banks or lenders onto AOL. And I suspect the way it's going to start is small, and then, you know, it can pick up. And that business unit, I mean, it has absolutely massive, massive potential. You know, it could generate $100 million of net income over the years. More, who knows? A billion, it's possible. But at first, it's going to start slow. And you know, we'll see what happens. So that's on the AOL. Which other business do you want me to talk about?
Let's talk about the foreclosure business.
Right. So the foreclosure business before the pandemic was a business that was generating about $100 million of revenue and $20 million of EBITDA, and then it went into hibernation because our government put a freeze on foreclosures, moratorium. So that business was dead. And then that moratorium ended, and now foreclosures and defaults are picking up. So Voxtur is seeing, you know, huge growth in that business. So can it return to generating, you know, 20 million of bottom line in the near future? I mean, sure it can. And now Voxtur also has more clients than it had before. So even if we take that business and what it is it's helping lending clients process foreclosures. So if you look at a business that can generate $20 million of bottom line, I mean, what is that business worth? Well, I would say a minimum of 200 million. Well, that alone is the market cap of the entire company right now.
So
And
how? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
that doesn't include all the other businesses, the AOL that I mentioned, and any other businesses that I'm going to talk about after this.
Okay, yeah. Before you talk about the other businesses, just a quick follow-up on the foreclosure business. How long do you think it's going to take them to get back to where they were pre-pandemic? Is it something that could take like a year and a half or 3 years, or I mean, any estimate you could think of?
I don't know. I don't know, because the government has its hands in everything lately. But, you know, I mean, we didn't have anything crazy before pandemic, right? It was more like a normal time. And we're not talking about foreclosures being at all-time high. We're talking about foreclosures being at a normal level, like there always is. A certain percentage of people simply, you know, can't afford or don't want to pay their mortgage. And then the houses have to be foreclosed. So we're not talking about some great recession, great anything. We're just talking about normal levels.
And so how much last year did that business, I mean, did they have zero in revenue from that business, or was it like a tiny bit?
Pretty much. It was completely, I mean, when there was moratorium, there was nothing there, right? You couldn't foreclose. So that business was dead for like 2 years.
Right. Okay. Now that we have those, why don't you go ahead and talk about the other businesses?
So then we have the appraisal business, where Voxter, I mean, that kind of like it started. I mean, Voxter started off being like a tax assessment. So let me do the tax assessment business. Voxter used to be what called iLookabout, and iLookabout was a helping governmental agencies calculate taxes, and it was mostly in Canada. And then it became, it merged or acquired Clarasti, which was a company focused on evaluation. So that's how it entered the real estate appraisal space. And then Voxter acquired other businesses, because what Voxter is doing is acquiring different databases in order to resell this data through different products. And one of the products is the appraisal product, where the average age of an appraiser is 62 years old. The appraisals take too long, and there's not enough appraisers out there. So what Voxter is doing is creating a product where appraisers can be faster. And it provides data to the appraisers so that they can populate the appraisal report without manually entering everything. So that business, signed up a major client, UWM, which is United Wholesale Mortgage. And United Wholesale Mortgage, it's an interesting situation, because they launched what's called an appraisal direct. So instead of going through AMC, which is appraisal management company, UWM did appraisal direct using Voxter's technology. So it sped up the appraisal process. It made the appraisal cost cheaper. And as a result of this, UWM is literally eating lunch of all of the competitors. Like Rocket Mortgage was, it passed it. It made more revenue and profit. I think it was more profit. So it's interesting, because now all the competitors are looking at ways to make the appraisals faster and cheaper, especially during the time where interest rates are going up and they don't have as much business. Because when interest rates were low and everything was operating on all cylinders, they were so busy, they had so much business, so much volume from mortgages, that they didn't need to innovate. And now that there's not enough to go around, those companies are looking for ways to lower the closing costs. And appraisal is a big contributor to the closing costs. They're looking for ways to make the closings faster. And here is Voxter offering that solution. So it will be interesting how that division progresses. But it's definitely, people think that, interest rates going up, that's bad. Well, that's actually very good for Voxter, because the clients now are looking for ways to be more competitive. So that's on the appraisal side.
Right, and I might want to come back to that interest rate point you made. But and let's talk about the recent acquisition and getting into the secondary market, because I was reading that I think Blue Water Technologies, if I remember correctly, they were for part of their business, they were basically just outsourcing a lot of stuff that Voxtur itself can do, and that's going to be immediate business for Voxtur.
Right. So the Blue Water is a company. Well, first of all, let's talk about mortgages and mortgage servicing rights. When you have somebody that, you know, buys a house, a mortgage is created, right? And then somebody has to service that mortgage. So this is mortgage servicing rights. You know, collecting the payments and paying the taxes, insurance, and all that stuff. That's mortgage servicing rights. So you have a mortgage originator that can hold the mortgage as an asset, and they can also have mortgage servicing rights for that asset. But most mortgages, originators, they don't want to hold them on their book. They want to make new mortgages. So they sell the mortgage to a pension or another investor that wants to own it for that cash flow. And then they might maintain the mortgage servicing rights, or they might sell those mortgage servicing rights to someone else. And mortgage servicing rights are an asset of their own. So let's say you want to buy a mortgage servicing right. What are you buying? Well, as an owner of a mortgage servicing right, MSR, you get a revenue, a small portion from the mortgage payment. And then from that, you have costs to servicing the mortgage. And then you have a certain net income. So that net income is worth something. Like if the mortgage was a 30-year mortgage and it was never prepaid, then those 30 years worth of net income or cash flow, they're worth something, right? And so there's investors that buy those mortgage servicing rights, and there's investors that buy mortgages. And so Blue Water, which is the company that Voxtur acquired, has a platform where those mortgages can be bought and sold. And the same thing with those mortgage servicing rights. And up to now, the due diligence and the way those assets were sold was pretty much Excel. It took forever to do due diligence. And so Blue Water is a platform that made this due diligence on those mortgages and MSRs very fast. Because of this, you know, unique technology, their business, the business of Blue Water is absolutely exploding, because they, you know, they solve this inefficiency. But as you said, in order to do due diligence on those assets, you have to have access to certain data, like, you know, what is the house worth? How much insurance is on it? What's the assessment? What are the taxes? Well, all of the data that Voxtur already has. So Blue Water was outsourcing all of this, and now Voxtur is able to buy this platform, buy their book of business, and Voxtur is going to use their own data instead of outsourcing it. So not only are they buying a really fast growing business that is already profitable, they can make the profits double or triple just by combining it with what Voxtur already owns.
Okay, great. And and this is totally separate from the AOL program, obviously. I mean, what kind of business potential does this give Voxtur, this acquisition, in addition to everything?
Yeah, I mean, this business is absolutely crazy, because there is about, on the origination side, on the origination side, they're at the peak. I don't know where it is right now, but there were about 1.5 million transactions per month. Now, on the secondary mortgage side, where the mortgages are sold, there's about 4 million transactions per month. So the size of it is like almost three times the size of the origination business. And so now you can say, well, how much of that business can Voxtur capture? And you can use different numbers, and they can make, I think right now Blue Water is making like $100 per transaction, and with Voxtur, they could make $300 per transaction. So if you say out of the 4 million, they can capture 100,000 transactions times 300, that's $30 million of profit per month. Per month. And there's nothing really stopping them being able to get 1 million transactions out of the 4 million transactions.
And that's sorry to interrupt, but that's, you gave the percentage of the market there, which was really, really tiny.
Yeah, it's very tiny.
100,000 over very tiny. 4 million, I think you said.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see a reason why they couldn't get 2 million or 3 million or 4 million because everything else is done by hand. But I gave a very conservative 100,000 transactions. But if they can get 1 million transactions, that's $300 million per month of profit. Now, you tell me how much $3 billion of profit per year from one business unit is worth. 30 billion, 50 billion, and the market cap is 275 million. So you can probably see why I own so many shares and why I am so excited to own so many shares.
And so let's, you know, just one question about these acquisitions. So the company has, in recent years, I mean, they've been building to get to the point where they're at now, it appears. I mean, they've been making all these acquisitions, and as investors should know, when you make acquisitions, you know, there's a digestion period. You have to integrate, you know, whatever it is you're buying with your current business. You know, sometimes the shareholders of whoever you buy, they could, you know, sell off the stock over time. I mean, we see this all the time in junior mining, which I know you're a huge fan of. Is the company now like where it's kind of past, it's getting past that point where they're, you know, they could be like a quarter or two away from their business, like really these things really starting to accelerate to the top line?
I mean, you would think so. You would think so, you know? I mean, but we're not, you know, people are interested in, you know, when is the stock price going to move? And I don't know. I don't know because Mr. Market right now is completely insane, right? Like, I can't argue with the market. Like, some of the things that I hear investors tell me about Voxtur and other things, I just want to scream at them and find their address and, you know, beat sense into their head. I don't know. Like, the situation with Voxtur kind of reminds me with I don't know if you follow the oil tankers during the pandemic, and especially the Scorpio tankers. Did you?
I didn't. I did hear about it in passing, but I didn't follow it that closely.
Right. So I remember I interviewed the CEO of Scorpio Tankers many times on my YouTube channel. And during the pandemic, the stock was like at $8. And right now, as we're recording it, it's 44. So 44 divided by 8. What is that?
It's almost a six bagger.
Right, it's almost a six bagger. And I remember talking to him, and he said something about the stock moving, and I said, look, your stock is going to move when your stock is going to move. Like, it doesn't matter how much you tell, how much you educate the market, how much you tell them this or that is going to happen, they're not going to do it until they're going to do it. And, you know, 24 months passes by, the stock is a 6X. I see the same thing with Voxtra. The market is torturing it and torturing it and torturing it. They're torturing me. They say stupid things every day. They don't want to buy until somebody else is buy. And then at some point, it's going to hit and it's going to go 5, 10x and it's going to catch people by surprise. But when that's going to happen, I don't know, because the Mr. Market just checked into rehab. And I don't know when he's going to check out, but I know at some point he's going to check out. When that happens, I don't know. But in the meantime, I want to have as many shares as humanly possible, because I see that almost every single business that they have has this massive potential. And almost anywhere you look at it, I told you at the beginning, the foreclosure business alone is probably worth the market cap of this company. And now you have the AOL business, the tax assessment business, the appraisal business, now the mortgage and MSR platform, that this alone could be worth $30 billion. I'm not going to try to convince the market being like, hey, this is the biggest no-brainer, you know, in the history of the stock market. Like, you, I'm just going to buy shares, and I'm not going to argue.
It's the biggest no-brainer since the Louisiana Purchase.
Yeah, you can say
that. I mean, I'm being a little facetious, but you get the point. Yeah, there's one or two other things I want to ask you quickly. Or the point I was going to make, Marius, is, and, you know, listening to everything you're saying and, you know, the discussions we've had in the past and the reading that I've done, this doesn't require, like, the housing market to have some, like, massive bubble. I mean, this is the weakness now is really psychologically driven. The housing market is not going away. People still need mortgages. You know, so, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, we don't need, like, we don't need, like, housing to go gangbusters or even just have, like, a bull market.
Oh,
I mean, people
no,
need
is,
all these products.
No, this is all psychological, just like it was psychological in the COVID. I mean, what kind of message were we getting during COVID? Buy Amazon because everybody's going to be staying at home and buying an Amazon. 2 minutes later, buy Amazon because everybody's going to be staying at home. And then the same message was on Netflix. Buy Netflix because everybody's going to be signing up for Netflix. And then they say it over and over and over and over. And you know, buy Zoom because everybody is not going to be traveling. And it's like over and over. And at some point, it's like, okay, I get it. We have pandemic. People are going to be staying at home. Okay, I get it. Those companies are going to benefit from the pandemic. But does this make those company valuation be unlimited? Are they worth trillions just because people are going to be staying at home and buying the products? No, there's limit to the valuation. Now it's completely opposite. Now it's like, you know, don't buy Voxtur or don't buy this because interest rates are going up. You know, don't buy Voxtur because real estate is going to crash. Don't, like, okay, you told me this already like 100 times. I've read it thousands of times on every other website fighting for viewership. You guys saying the same thing over and over. Guess what? Just because you said it 1,000 times doesn't mean that Voxtur is worthless. Okay? Doesn't mean that. Voxtur has revenues. Voxtur is going to have profits. Voxtur has, you know, great products. Doesn't make it, you know, worthless just because you psychologically read 10,000 articles that say the exact same thing.
It's our, I mean, in Marius, it's already discounted in the market anyway. I mean, from looking at the stock chart, $1.60 down to 51 cents. Oh, that's all in the past. I mean, that happened. It's done. You know, it's done with. It's been discounted. What matters is the future now. And that risk risk has been priced out of the stock now.
I would love for the recession to finally happen. Okay? Because the fear of the recession is so much more painful and scary than the actual recession. Because once we are in a recession, then people can start thinking, you know, eventually we're going to come out of this recession. But, like, you know, let's make it happen already. You know, let's move on.
Yeah, in 2000, like, I'll just agree with your point, because when it becomes official and every, you know, the media reports a recession, stocks, and they start bottoming a month or two after that point. I mean, I think in 2008, it wasn't until the summer when when it became obvious, everybody's like, okay, now we're really in. I mean, even in early 2008, people were fearful. The media didn't report it. By the time the media reported it, 1 or 2 months later, a bunch of stocks bottomed in October, November 2008, just only like 1 or 2 months after it became official. Then, of course, the market bottomed, you know, 5 months after that. So, yeah, I'm just agreeing with your point.
Yeah. And, you know, talking about Voxter, you should interview Colin Fisher on the subject. He's a great person that could really help you understand the company even more.
I will. And, you know, one or two more things. I mean, I looked and, you know, because you know that I'm in the, you know, the gold and junior mining business. And a lot of people say, you know, one of the most important things is in these companies is insider ownership. And I'm not likening Voxter, which is a real business, to, you know, things that are completely different. But, I mean, the insider holdings, I looked it up, and it's basically like 33% of the company is owned by insiders. So, I mean, they believe in it. They're eating their own cooking.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Like the CEO, Jim Albertelli, he owns like more than 100 million shares. Massive, massive ownership. Gary, which is the chairman, I think he owns about 20 million shares. So yeah, and also the most recent acquisition, Blue Water, they are becoming over a period of 4 years, because it's like a merger, so they are becoming a large shareholder in Voxter, I think owning close to 30%. So you got to ask yourself, Blue Water, that platform was in the process of being sold to a bank, and then they decided to go with Voxter. Why? Why did they go with Voxter instead of just cashing out and selling to a bank? Why? Because they know that if they combine with Voxter, they're going to get 10 times more than what they would get in cash by selling it straight cash to a bank.
Right. I'm just thinking, we've covered a lot here. I'm just thinking if I guess, you know, a final question for you, Marius. Maybe you could just tell the audience and the listeners, I mean, based on all your experience, you've written several books on these subjects. I mean, what do you tell people who, you know, they're maybe just a little worried about the markets in general? You know, they see stocks are down significantly. You know, they agree with, you know, whether it's Voxter or something else. We are talking about Voxter, so we should keep it to Voxter. But what would your guidance be to people who are, you know, a little, they're just worried about the market and where the stock is trading at? They understand that in time it will be much better off. But, any final words of wisdom you can offer?
You know, I just cover these companies on my YouTube channel. I interview the CEO or chairman from time to time. I give my thoughts on things. But I don't try to convince people anymore, because I am exhausted. I am exhausted from the stupidity. Like, if they need hand holding, I just tell them, sell your stock and don't bother me anymore, because I'm tired of this. Like, if you need to somebody to tell you to buy during this time, then we're not on the same page. Like, I want to be communicating with people that I don't have to tell that it's a good idea to buy in 2008, that it's a good idea to buy in 2020, and that it's a good idea to buy now. I don't want to convince people. They either know it or they don't.
Alrighty. On that note, Marius, thank you so much. Before I let you go, please tell our audience how they can, follow you and your YouTube channel, and also subscribe to Microcap Explosions.
Yeah, so take my name, find my YouTube channel, listen to some of my videos. And then, yes, I do have microcapexplosions.com, which it's a paid service. It costs $3,000 per year. You get access to my ideas. But, for the listeners of your channel, if you email me directly, maybe I can give you a discount. So, but you have to email me. Otherwise, there's no discount.
And what's your email?
Mario, M-A-R-I-O, S like Sam, 188 at yahoo.com.
Okay, Marius. Yeah, thank you so much for that generous offer. And thank you so much for taking the time to go over Voxter with us. I and my audience, we really appreciate it. And hopefully we can do this again in the coming months and, you know, track Voxter as it ascends both in its business and share price.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the 10 Bagger Podcast, presented by the Daily Gold. For premium coverage of precious metals and the best junior mining companies, visit thedailygold.com/premium.